Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good to have you on board as we start yet another week from the After Hours Super Secret Home Base. It is still in the same location. The super secret home base has not yet moved with me. So it's a little bit odd. I can hear the echo because there's no other furniture in my super secret office right now. And there's no other furniture in the entire house, actually, except for the TV on a little table and a dining room chair way downstairs. So I can hear the audio quality that has changed. But Dave assures me it sounds about the same on the radio. And I hope that you can't hear the echo where you are either. But the After Hours Super Secret Home Base will not be moving until, well, it's going to be 2 weeks, actually, 2 weeks from tonight, because I'll be here all week at this old rental house. And then I'm off next week on vacation as my family is in town to rescue me. And then the following week when I return, I will likely be in a closet at the new house as long as that closet is clean. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. From the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, these are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I'm interested in your reaction to the golf tournament, the return of the PGA Tour. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Right now, pivot and turning our attention to the NBA. Travis Demers going through his first full season as the radio play-by-play voice for the Portland Trail Blazers. And Travis, it's an interesting dilemma that the NBA faced, and they went through all the various scenarios, decided on 22 teams. They received a ton of feedback from around the NBA community, including Damian Lillard. But we'll start with the 22-team format. What do you think?
I like that there are more teams involved because, you know, with 16, depending on the team, the Blazers had 16 games left. Some teams had 17, 18, 19 games. There are any number of things that could have happened over the course of the remainder of a regular season. So if you had, you know, four or five teams within that final spot in the Western Conference, who knows what would have happened with Memphis? Maybe they would have struggled over the last month of the season, and maybe Phoenix goes 10-2 over a stretch. So the fact that you have more teams that are in position to make the playoffs or make a run at this point, I like that because, you know, you just never would have known. So it gives more teams something to play for, and any time that you can give more teams a reason to show up and play hard every night, I think that's a good thing.
How much do you think it matters that a superstar the caliber of Damian Lillard first said, I'm not coming back to play games that don't matter. I'm not just going to show up to play a bunch of regular season games that don't give us the chance to make the playoffs, but that also he talked about, you know, giving these other six teams, as you point out, the extra six, giving them a chance to push themselves into the playoff picture.
I think it held a lot of weight. Guys like Damian Lillard, you know, the players who have a big voice, have a big name in the NBA, what they say matters. It matters to fans, it matters to owners, it matters to the board of governors, to Commissioner Silver. So when he speaks up and says, look, if I'm going to come down there for four games and we don't have an opportunity to move beyond those four games and play in the postseason, why am I here? You know, we saw some similar things being reported about the Golden State Warriors' perspective, whether it be Steph Curry or Draymond Green. You know, Klay Thompson's not going to come back. why would players risk injury and things like that for games that essentially, you know, don't matter? And it's different than at the end of the season, where if a team's eliminated from the playoffs, they're still playing. There's not a four-month break and then a month lead-up to play four games. So I think those comments held a lot of weight and really went a long way in determining, well, we're not just going to have 16 teams show up. You know, the more games that are played, the more the NBA can recoup some of the financial losses, especially when you have guys like Damian Lillard and Zion Williamson who wouldn't have been in the postseason. And it's just a better opportunity for everybody because more teams have a chance. The league is able to get some more dollars. I think it benefits everybody.
Travis, the idea of having these guys sequestered, so to speak, in Orlando has been a bit of a topic of conversation about how realistic it is to keep this many players of all ages with all family situations together in one place in Orlando and not allow them to leave. Knowing what you know about the makeup of the Portland Trail Blazers, how realistic do you think it is for them to stick to the program?
Well, I think if they have their goals clearly set out, and that's, you know, this is what we're going to do for these eight games and then go from there. Do we play the two games against Memphis and then do we move on to the playoffs against the Lakers and et cetera, et cetera? I think they can stay focused on the task at hand, and there's really strong leadership within the team, from Terry Stotts to Damian Lillard to CJ McCollum, a guy like Carmelo Anthony who's been around the league for a long time, even, you know, a veteran presence like Trevor Ariza. I think those guys are kind of the glue that can keep everybody focused. But at the same time, 14 of the 22 teams would be done after 53 days. 53 days is a long time to be in one place. It's a long time to be away from families. And a lot of the players have kids. A lot of the players have, you know, significant others that they wouldn't be able to see. And, you know, I know from personal experience, being gone sometimes in a 10 or 11 day road trip feels like a long time to be away from my son and away from my wife. And I can't imagine what that would be like for 50 days, 53 days. And then for the players that are all the way through to the NBA Finals, you're talking about, you know, 3 months. So it is a lot to ask. But at the same time, if they're committed to it, which I believe they will be, I think they'll be in a good position.
Travis Demers is the Trail Blazers radio voice for the first time, actually, as a full-timer this season. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What's this been, or what was it like for you? I know it's been a hiatus the last 3 months, but how did you enjoy it?
I mean, it's a dream job. I think about the people that have held this job before. I mean, it starts with Bill Shonley, who is the voice of the Blazers for 28 years. And, you know, he's as revered as anybody in this town. And Eddie Doucette, who's a Hall of Famer, was the radio announcer for a couple of years. And then taking over for Brian Wheeler, who is a friend and who has been the voice of the Blazers for over two decades, knowing that in 50 years there have been three other people who have called, you know, games on the radio for the Trailblazers, it helps me keep myself to a high standard. I want to pick up where those legends left off, and to be able to show up in the arena every night and say, this is my job, I get to do this, I've wanted to do it my entire life, it's a dream job. It's something I can't explain, and I couldn't be happier or more blessed to work for and with the people that I do and to have this job.
Have you heard anything about what the makeup of the travel party might look like for Portland and whether or not there will be any media people going to Orlando?
I've tried to dig, and I haven't gotten any concrete details because, you know, my wife is due with our second child in the beginning of July, and, you know, if I'm gone for a month or three, I don't know how well that would go over. We've heard all kinds of different reports. You know, Kevin Harlan spoke last week about, you know, there wouldn't be any TNT broadcasters there or Turner broadcasters there until potentially the conference finals or the finals. And I haven't been given any concrete information, but I know the preparations are there. If that's the case, if radio or TV isn't there, we have preparations in order to broadcast the games, you know, remotely. Like, I know Major League Baseball is going to do if and when they return, you know, for away games and things like that. So it's not ideal, but that's what we're preparing for if and when that's the case.
You mentioned Carmelo Anthony, and he recently did a conference call where he talked about the fact that he's considering his options. He's undecided about whether or not he will play. And I'm not sure what his decision will come down to. But in terms of Melo's role on the team, how important is that?
Well, it's interesting because we haven't seen Zach Collins since the third game of the season, and we haven't seen Yusuf Nurkic since March of last year with that broken leg. So when the Blazers signed Carmelo Anthony, there was a need. There was a need for Melo, and Melo had a need for the Blazers. And then Rodney Hood goes down with his Achilles injury, and you know, it was a rough stretch for quite a bit of the season. So right. Melo, at times, was exactly what the Blazers needed. He was there to hit clutch shots. He hit the game-winning shot in Toronto. His veteran leadership was important. I think his role off the floor has been just as important as his role on the floor, because whether it's the players and the team chemistry, the coaching staff, the media, every single person that he's come in contact with in Portland as a member of the Trailblazers has nothing but positive things to say about it. And being away from things up here in the Northwest, you know, we're not as involved with the Knicks or the Thunder or the Rockets, and we only get the national reports and things that are out there, and it's usually not reported unless it's negative. And there was this idea of who Carmelo Anthony was or could have been, that he might have been selfish or this or that, and he's been anything but that in Portland. He's been terrific, and the players gravitate towards him. They respect him. He's terrific with the media. The coaching staff likes him. So his role, while yes, he can still play, and he has been very, very good at times this year, his role, I think, as a veteran presence has been as important as anything.
What is the latest on Yusef Nurkic?
He's ready to go. Right after the stoppage, so our last game was Tuesday the 10th against the Suns. He was going to return that Sunday. That was going to be a nationally televised game. He was going to return that Sunday at home against the Rockets, and people here were fired up. People were so excited about Nurk returning, and all these things were planned. And then the next day is when the news about Rudy Gobert came out, and that he had tested positive, and everything was shut down. So that was a Wednesday. That Sunday, Yusef Nurkic was going to return. So he's ready to go, and people here are itching to see Nurk on the floor again.
Travis Demers is the play-by-play voice of the Portland Trail Blazers radio network with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Can you believe it's been 3 months, just over 3 months now, but marking the anniversary Thursday, June 11th, last week, that it had been 3 months since the NBA shut down?
It's crazy. When all this started, we were hearing, well, you know, to the end of April. And we're like, at the end of April? That's 6 weeks away. What are you talking about? And now here we are, more than 3 months away, and it's going to be the end of July before the NBA starts up again. I could not have imagined what life would have been like without sports for a week, let alone 3 or 4 months. So, no, I can't believe it, but here we are.
In the case of the Blazers, and I think this is so interesting because not every team is going to come back the same way. Not every team is going to pick up right where they left off. It's just not human nature. After what will be more than a 4-month layoff by the time they get to Orlando. You talk about a couple of the injuries with Portland and guys coming back. When you think about the possibilities, how optimistic should they be about being able to get there to Orlando and make some noise?
I think it should be incredibly optimistic, because you look at the starting five before everything happened. You had Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Trevor Ariza, Carmelo Anthony, Hassan Whiteside. It's a good starting five. The depth had some concerns because of the injuries, but Gary Trent Jr. had been playing well. Anthony Simons, Nasir Little was starting to come into his own a little bit. And now you add two players who were expected to be starters. You're getting 40% of your starting lineup back. I don't know if Yusef Nurkic or Zach Collins are going to start, but you're getting two starting caliber players back on a team that was playing good basketball. So when you look at the way things are constructed down there, the Blazers have as good a chance of any team to play Memphis or be in that 9 spot. The way that the tiebreakers are working, even though the Blazers didn't have the tiebreaker against the Pelicans this year, because of the percentage points, as long as they have the same or better record than the teams that are below them, worst case scenario is you play Memphis in that 2-game playoff. They'd have to overcome 3.5 games over Memphis to pass them, so that's asking a lot. But I think the expectations should certainly be as good or better than everybody else below you. And I think it's absolutely fair. And then once you get past that, you've got to beat Memphis twice in back-to-back nights, which is tough to do, not just back-to-back games, back-to-back nights, and then face the Lakers. So there are a lot of challenges ahead. Nothing's easy. Nothing's a layup. But with those two guys coming back as good as they are and as comfortable as they are with the rest of this team, I think they should absolutely have expectations of making some noise.
Travis, before I let you go, the Blazers just lost their team founder, Harry Glickman, at the ripe old age of 96 years old. Just a few words about what he meant to the franchise and to the city, if you don't mind.
Yeah, there's no Rip City without Harry Glickman. He's a Northwest guy through and through. And when people told him he was crazy that professional basketball, professional sports could come to Portland, he persevered through all that and got the job done and got the Trailblazers to Portland. And there was even a plan, I think it was in the late 60s, early 70s, to have a dome built on the Washington-Oregon border. And he believed that if we got that dome, we would have had the NFL in Portland, and that then instead of Seattle getting the Seahawks. And and all these things happened over the years that he was a part of. He brought NFL preseason games to Portland. He brought minor league hockey. His dream was to get Major League Baseball in Portland, and maybe we're closer to that today. I certainly hope so. But really, the title that people have given him is the father of professional sports in Portland and in Oregon, and that's absolutely what he is. There's no Trailblazers. There's no Rip City. There's no Blazer Mania. There's none of that if it wasn't for Harry Glickman doing everything that he could and really going the extra mile and banging on doors and trying to get the city of Portland to have a professional sports identity. Without him, it doesn't happen.
Quite a legacy. And again, 96 years old, which is amazing. You can find Travis on Twitter at Travis Demers, D-E-M-E-R-S. And not only is he the radio play-by-play voice of the Blazers, but he's also on Rip City Radio during the week. It's good to hear your voice again. It's been a while. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Hey, it's always great to talk to you, Amy. Thanks so much for the time.
Everything strange, right? Everything different in 2020. And everybody's got a unique story. In the case of Travis, his first full season as the play-by-play voice of the Portland Trail Blazers. And now it's been truncated, as it has for every other play-by-play announcer. But he's not sure whether or not he will be in Orlando. Chances are that none of the local radio crews will make it, at least not initially, because there's a cap at the certain number of players, personnel, coaches, etc., that each team can bring. Now, maybe they expand that number once they trim down, like the six teams that don't make the playoffs, and then they get through the first round where they, automatically are cutting the number of teams in half. And so maybe at some point you've got broadcasters that are on site, but initially it certainly seems like nobody from the broadcasting world, the media world, is going to be there. I'm not sure if you saw, let's see. I think it was a newspaper article, a web article for a newspaper with the owner of the Celtics, Whit Grosbeck, who's saying that he will, in fact, be in Orlando with the Celtics and he can't wait to get there. But in response to this idea that every team gets to bring maybe its own court to Orlando, there's no home court advantage, obviously, but one of the thoughts is that for TV purposes, each team that had the home court advantage would be able to bring their own floor, and they would put that floor down in Orlando so that at least it looked like a home court, maybe felt more like a home court for the athletes. It sounds outrageous, right? But back to the owner of the Celtics, he's saying there's no way. I mean, that takes a good 25 people, as part of a work crew to be able to get, that floor down for guys to be able to play on it safely. And so the idea is that every single franchise really has to limit the number of people that they bring with them, and broadcasters are likely not part of that. And so we've all got our own unique stories. It's interesting to hear about the pandemic through the eyes of other people.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Carmelo Anthony going back to the actual anniversary, June 11th. So exactly 3 months from the date at which the NBA suspended its season, he made an appearance on the NBA on TNT and indicated that he has some reservations about playing. And we just heard from Travis Demers that his role will obviously be different with Yusuf Nurkic returning and with the Blazers getting healthy. When they arrive in Orlando, Carmelo, while his veteran presence is helpful and certainly has made a major impact, maybe his minutes aren't there. Maybe as a guy who's been around the block a bunch, it's not as important to him. Maybe he's more concerned about the virus or being sequestered. Whatever the case is, there will likely be players who do not show up. Will there be enough players that an entire team will have to bow out? after the big conference call on Friday night, in which there were upwards of 100 players. I've seen a variety of numbers out there, 50 to 60, 70 to 80, upwards of 100. Kyrie Irving, Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis, all of those who reportedly spoke and voiced their concerns. Will there be enough players to boycott? It seems unlikely. I'm not sure if you guys saw what Patrick Beverley posted on social media over the weekend, but I thought it was pretty telling. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Actually, just did my homeowner's policy with Geico. And clearly it's a good thing I have the place insured. Let's see. Patrick Beverley takes to social media to essentially say, if LeBron James is on board, then let's be honest, we're all coming back to play. Okay, so he's saying, once LeBron cast his weight, proverbially, behind returning to play, and once he was part of the superstar push to get back on the court, it was pretty much a done deal. Okay, so here's his exact tweet. Hoopers, say what y'all want. If King James said he hooping, we all hooping. Not personal, only business. And his hashtag is stay woke. I should never be saying that ever. Hoopers, say what y'all want. If King James said he hooping, we all hooping. Not personal, only business. So this is Patrick Beverley, who plays for the Clippers, not for the Lakers. And he says, if LeBron James is on board, who are we kidding? We're all coming back to play. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Many of you have asked about the pets, so I have to give you an update on Penny and Sugar. First, the cat. It's been very traumatic, I'll just be honest. Not only did she lose Ellie, we all lost Ellie, but it affected her so much because she and Ellie had never been apart for a day in her 11 years. And so she was already stressed about that, and she's high anxiety anyway. And then the move. So I went back and forth about what to do with the cat during the move. So ultimately, I decided to put her in the bathroom here at the rental house, the place where we've lived for 5 years, knowing that she would likely be more comfortable here, even if she was locked in the bathroom with her food and her water. But at least it's a smell that she's familiar with, a couple of rugs that she's familiar with. And she's, you know, she knows that bathroom. So I put her in the bathroom, howling away for like a good 90 seconds until she hears the voices of the movers, all men. And that scared her half to death. That made her quiet really quick. She then was hiding behind the toilet. I checked on her a couple of times. She would howl at me when I opened the door. And then as soon as I closed the door and she heard other people talking, strange voices, she zipped it. So she was okay. And then once the movers left, I let her out of the bathroom. Now for Penny, Penny has a different way of indicating nerves. Penny gets, so Australian Shepherds are notorious for their weak stomachs. When Penny is nervous, she gets terrible gas. I'm sure many of you have dogs that also have terrible gas. I just know for Penny, unless her stomach's really upset, and so maybe once a year she gets kind of sick and I have to be careful and let her out a lot more. But for the most part, I never change her diet, and so she is usually just fine. But the poor dog, all day Saturday, just awful gas. Like, her stomach must have been upset. And so she smelled all day Saturday, but she did great with the move. She sat outside on the back deck, and she sat against the sliding glass door, and she just looked at what was happening. She didn't leave the deck. She didn't leave the yard. She just stayed where she was. Once or twice I let her in and she kind of checked out the movers, but she was really calm. When we get over to the new house, not so much. Obviously, it's all fresh. Now, she had been in the new house but before all the furniture and the boxes were there. And so she was a mess and the cat was a mess and the two of them were just high stress. So poor Penny all Saturday night. She woke me up a couple times. I didn't know if she had to go out. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd just gotten in bed. 3 o'clock on Sunday morning, Saturday night, I get up and take her out again. She never did get sick, but she didn't settle down really either, except for a few hours. So the two of them now have been following me everywhere I go in the house, which is understandable. So when I'm in the kitchen cleaning, Penny is about a foot away from me laying down on the floor and makes it even more complicated to navigate the kitchen. But yeah, the two of them are there. I think they're having a hard time getting adjusted and they're both older. They're both almost, Sugar's 11, Penny will be 11 in October. And so I'm really glad that this is, I mean, I can't foresee the future, but I don't anticipate moving again before, Penny's life is done. And so even if we were in the house another 5 years and she lived another 5 years, at least she doesn't have to move again. Who knows how long Sugar's going to live? Probably till she's 30, because that's the kind of cat she is. But just to annoy me. But she's not with me tonight, and I'm really thankful for that. So I literally did a take your pet to work day tonight because I had to drive a half mile to get to the old house. Penny came with me, so she's laying on the floor here. She settled down after a couple of minutes because it's familiar. The cat I left back at the other house and did not bring her because for the first time since I started working from home, I do not have a cat crawling all over me. So I'm sorry if you miss Sugar. You're just going to have to miss her this week.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I certainly hope that Ellen is okay. We have a bunch of listeners who, according to them, are in their 80s. In fact, I believe we've even had a woman call who's in her 90s. And of course, I appreciate them and the fact that we can keep them company. And I'm really hoping that they are all okay. My Grammy Helen is now allowed to leave the building that she lives in and sit outside on the porch with a mask. There are rocking chairs out there. In fact, Grammy and I have spent many hours out there since she moved to this new place, and she is allowed to go outside. However, according to my uncle, I didn't have a chance to call her this weekend, but according to my uncle, she has not gone outside yet because she's still a little bit nervous about it. Understandable, since all she does is watch the news. Anyway, so right now, all 700 plus people who live and work at her assisted living facility have been tested multiple times. No one has come back positive. Not one resident has had the virus. And that's great news. And so they should have more answers in Wisconsin this week about limited visitation. But I'm anxiously awaiting the opportunity to go see my Grammy Helen. And I know a lot of you have elderly relatives that you would like to visit too. And so you certainly understand. I'm confident my grandmother did not watch golf this weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. How much attention did you pay to the event at the Colonial in Fort Worth? It was the return officially of the PGA Tour. I don't think the ratings will be anywhere close to what we saw with the charity match, Tiger, Phil, Brady, Peyton. It was a ratings bonanza for TNT and TBS. And it was live on two networks, not CBS, as in big CBS, but obviously so high profile. They were raising money, $20 million for COVID-19 relief funds. And as you can imagine, those four names alone bring people in who have zero interest in golf and probably know nothing about the sport, but are interested in hearing and seeing these guys together. So nearly 6 million people watch the match too. We'll see how the ratings for the Colonial compare. It sounded a little different on TV, but only in various locations where or camera angles where you could see that there were no fans and they're just a couple of humans dotting the golf course. And then when there was a big putt made or missed, there was no reaction from the non-existent gallery. So that part was interesting. Anyway, I would love to hear from you. How much did you pay attention since these live sporting event options are limited? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and our phone number is 855-212-4227. 4227. I promised you a little football. Did you know Mitch Trubisky, current starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears, speaking out and talking about one of the moves made by the Bears coaching staff over the course of the springtime. It's kind of funny because you consider in the NFC North how much was made of the Packers drafting Jordan Love to be the successor, reportedly, for Aaron Rodgers, and how some people even termed that the biggest story of the NFL draft. Now, back when the Bears traded for Nick Foles and then did not pick up the option for Mitch Trubisky, it was a story, but not nearly as big as what the Packers did. So maybe because of the season the Packers are coming off of, because of the status of Aaron Rodgers, probably a bunch of factors combined. But there could also be a QB controversy. I'm joking. There's not a QB controversy in Green Bay, but there could very well be one in Chicago come training camp. Now, does it matter that Nick Foles is working with guys that know him and that he's a veteran and maybe doesn't even need the same type of time to get prepared for a new team and a new season? We shall see. But Trubisky says when he found out about the trade for Foles, it rubbed him the wrong way, so to speak.
I think I was kind of pissed off in a good way. I've been motivated ever since. I've been motivated since our season ended last year. I didn't feel like it went the way we wanted to, and we left a lot out there. But I'm excited for this year.
So Mitch Trubisky doing a video conference call and talking about the Bears' moves that were made. And if he's telling the truth, okay, so it may be that he's just putting on a good face for the video conference call. But if he is telling the truth and he's indicating that I've been ticked off in a good way where this is extra motivation for me, that's only good for the Chicago Bears, right? Whether it's Trubisky, whether it's Nick Foles, if you have a young starting quarterback that is looking over his shoulder, essentially, that can feel the hot breath of Nick Foles on his neck, well, then he's even more focused and locked in and determined that he's not going to lose that job. For now, the job is his, and he's telling anyone who will listen.
I still feel like this is my team, and I'm excited for the competition and just get back on the field with my guys and show everybody what I can still do and how hard I've been working this offseason to help the Bears win games this year. So it's been interesting, but again, it's a business decision, and I'm all for the Bears getting better and helping us win games.
Yes, that's true. But obviously, like any professional athlete, like anyone who's competitive, you want them to win games when you are the one who is part of the winning process. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Trubisky playing in 15 games, starting all 15 that he played in last year. And the Bears were 8-7 in those games. But his numbers were down from the year before, so his completion percentage dropped, though it was up from his rookie year. He also saw a drop in his yardage, even though he played one more game than 2018 when he was a Pro Bowler. He had fewer interceptions, but 7 fewer touchdown passes as well. And in terms of his QB rating, that was also off. So for Trubisky, there were a lot of question marks, and let's be honest, a lot of jokes about how he was drafted higher than Patrick Mahomes going back to 2017. This is a year of the reckoning for Trubisky. They did not pick up his option, his fifth-year option. All first-round draft picks, they come with a fifth-year team option. The team declined that. And what does that tell you? Well, they're not sure. It doesn't automatically mean that they're going to part ways with him after this season, but it does mean they're not sure. Now, here's how it could backfire. Here's how Trubisky could blow this up in the faces of the Bears. A, they gave up assets to get Nick Foles. B, if Trubisky goes out there and has another Pro Bowl season and they decide that they want to keep him, he's going to cost them more money than he would if they had picked up his fifth-year option. Okay, so they wouldn't get him for a fifth year at the cheaper rookie deal rate. Instead, they'll have to pay him the going rate for a starting quarterback, which by the end of next year could be a lot higher, or I suppose it could be lower considering the economic situation that we're in with professional sports. The part about Nick Foles, though, if what they gave up to get Foles, which wasn't a lot because of the situation in Jacksonville, if what they gave up to get Nick Foles is, it becomes not nearly as important. Okay, so if it matters by the end of the season, well, then you know that the goal was not accomplished. The goal was to bring him in to mentor and teach and push Mitch Trubisky. Of course the Bears are creating a competition here because they want to see if Trubisky can respond. They want to see if that extra motivation and that competition, again, seeing a looming Nick Foles in his rearview mirror, they want to see whether or not that turns Trubisky into an even better quarterback or if he becomes derailed. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. So love to know how much you were interested in the golf this weekend. And many of you are, well, you're using your humor, your sarcasm, which, you know, sarcasm is my love language. So you can definitely rest easy that I can interpret your sarcasm. For instance, those of you who say I would rather watch paint dry, those of you who say I turned it on, I had the best nap of the weekend. But some of you are indicating that you did watch. So Douglas on Facebook, I watched a good portion of the final round. When I lived in Fort Worth, I went to Colonial a few times. I would take a lawn chair and camp out in the shaded area between the ninth hole and 10th tee. Best viewing spot on the course. Most definitely needed the fan element. Well, that's not possible right now, not for the next 4 weeks at least. Silvana says, no, I'm waiting for baseball soon, I hope. Yes, we all do hope, right? Bob says, I saw that it was on and I recorded it for later. How about that? Walter, watched the last 2 hours of the final round. Golf fan, but must say it's not quite the same without fans. Yeah, it's odd. It's weird, but I think you as a fan, you as a viewer will get used to it. Just like they as players will get used to it because they have to. Coming up next hour, by the way, we will welcome Matt Adams from the Golf Channel, and we'll ask him his thoughts, his perceptions, really the reaction to the return of the PGA Tour. Let's see. Jorge on Facebook, if you ever catch me watching golf, it probably means I'm in a vegetative state and can't change the channel. See what I mean about the jokes? Matt on Facebook, love golf. Steven, too busy to watch this weekend, but I do like golf. Now, see, that's a great answer. I'm glad you were too busy living your real life, your other life, your non-sports life, to sit and watch golf. It does require a commitment. Many people are willing to make that commitment to a full round when it's the Masters, which will happen in November, or when it's the Ryder Cup or a high-profile event. I would agree with you. It takes a diehard to tune into a golf event on a gorgeous late spring weekend if you don't know a lot of the golfers. Now, you may not have known the last two guys standing, Daniel Berger and then Colin Morikawa, but you certainly know Rory McIlroy. You know, Jordan Spieth was there in the mix in the last few hours. There are names that you knew. 15 of the top 20 in the world were participating in this tournament, and they all kind of tap dance backward and left these two at the top of the leaderboard. But for a while, it was a pretty crowded leaderboard, and so some interesting stuff. But a lot of you are saying to me that you figured out Tiger wasn't part of it, and you tuned out again. If he's still the biggest draw, I mean, Phil Mickelson was obviously there this weekend, or there to start the tournament as well. Let's see. James on Facebook, very little, not a big fan. I turned it on for a minute. My wife even said, why are you watching that? You don't like golf. I told her it was the only live sport that was on. Well, there was a NASCAR event. It was trying to start, late afternoon, and they had a bunch of weather delays in Miami. So that one ended up turning into a more of an evening race, actually a night race by the time Denny Hamlin took the checkered flag. And there were a few fans there. Not sure if you could see them or notice them, but Alvin Kamara was part of it. He was a guest of NASCAR, and he was wearing his Bubba Wallace gear and was outspoken in support of the new NASCAR ban on Confederate flags. And so he was on social media, both NASCAR and his own, enjoying it. So there were some fans. I think it was invitation only, 1,000 people that they had in the stands. Coming up at their next stop at Talladega, they actually will have 5,000 fans, but they'll be spread out, spread way out along the front stretch, which is a mile plus long. But it will be the first event in which fans can use tickets to get into an event as opposed to being an invitee only. So how much interest did you have?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.